I'm going to start a new sermon series this week. This is talking about the internal enemies. We all have wars going on inside of our minds and our bodies, and we have enemies that come to us in our thoughts, and they come to us, you know, in our weak times, and we have enemies that beat us down day in, day out, and they come in and they steal our joy and they steal our thoughts, and we just kind of get consumed with them. And thought I'd start out with a humdinger, just talk about stress, worry, and anxiety, okay? And if you don't have any of those, then you're free to leave at this time, all right? But I know that we all do. And it's interesting, there's a story in the Bible where Jesus actually confronts these things, and just an amazing story. And there is a progression that leads us to anxiety, and anxiety is where we get inside of us stress. The everyday life hits us and stress gets into us and all the troubles and problems. And then sometimes when we are weak in our faith, that leads us to worry. Okay? And then when you take worry, and then that starts to develop in our minds, and we start to think about it and overthink about it and complicate things and start to doubt, and our faith leaves us even more, then that metastasizes into fear. And then when fear hits, then that's when the anxiety comes in. And I don't know if you're there today, but so many of us get to a point to where the anxiety levels in our lives, just everyday living and the problems that happen every day, it's like sometimes you can't take a deep breath. You know what I mean? It's like I can't breathe. The anxiety is just closing in on me. And so that's the progression to anxiety. That's how we get there. It happens in different situations, and it happens in different parts of our lives. And some of us are dealing with anxiety in several different instances and several different segments of our life. And it beats us down, and it steals our joy. It robs us of the ability to go out and truly worship and to be thankful for what God is doing in our lives, because we're just so consumed with our own anxiety that exists inside of our mind, okay? And so stress, that is that mental state to where it's just the strain and tension that comes to us every day. Worry is where you allow your mind to drift and to dwell on the difficulties in your life. And then you put those two together and you get an overwhelming feeling of worry accompanied by stress. And this is where the unknown comes in and our faith leaves us, and we just get consumed with our own anxiety. Okay? So typical causes that come into our lives, you know, health problems with the unknown. So many of us have been there or going through that. I understand that. I get it. Okay? Relationship issues. This is where you get sideways with someone and you don't know how you hurt their feelings, or maybe you didn't mean to hurt their feelings, or somebody hurt you. You can't believe that they would treat you that way. And then that just kind of escalates into a situation to where relationships are broken, and that causes anxiety. It jumbles up our lives, and people that we thought we could count on, we aren't so sure now, and we thought we could be there for someone, and now we're doubting ourselves, we're angry at ourselves. And so major life changes. This happens all the time with jobs, with things happen in your life, things are going on, and we got to get used to the new normal. We got to step out in faith and do these things. But so many times, just the unknown, and sometimes the steps leading up to these life changes are just too much for us to take on, and just the anxiety sets in. Okay, family, you can break this down into about 1,000 different things about why family was God's gift to us. But sin has entered into family. We've overcomplicated. We've inserted our own stuff. And now anxiety sometimes just rules the day inside of our families. And the responsibilities sometimes are overwhelming, what we think we have to do inside of our families. The problems start to set in that causes anxiety. And then anytime there's marriage conflict inside of a family, that just kind of consumes the whole relationship. And sometimes we think we're hiding it from everybody else and from our kids, but we just are unable to do that, and the anxiety is setting in. Okay, finances. Listen, I do a lot of counseling. Usually it boils down to there's all these other symptoms and there's all these immediate issues that are going on, but usually it boils down to finances. That's what we're fighting about. When it comes to the end of the day, yeah, money is the issue. That's why we can't get along, is because of the anxiety that is happening through our finances. Okay, work, you know, most people can't leave it at work. They bring it home with them, and it just consumes us. And now we have these cell phones, so people, we never escape our work. Bosses are able to get a hold of you all the time. Emails are now on your phone. So now you feel that thing move or hear that sound. It's like, I just got an email and that came from work and it's on a Saturday night or something. And it just kind of like you never can escape work. And at some point, it's just like the anxiety sets in. And then trauma and tragedy, of course, just kind of overwhelms us. And then some of us just deal, this one's for me, okay? This is how crazy I am. I worry about what I'm not worrying about. I'm serious. It's like, why am I not worrying about that? I should be worried. Now I'm worried that I'm not worried because I'm going to get blindsided by it. Am I the only one that does that? Are you guys? Yes. Okay. And then there's this collection bin of other. So think about where you are in your life. Kind of skim through those things. You know, you may have one, you may have none, you may have all of them. But anxiety is in our lives. And the Bible wants you to be prepared. Jesus Christ wants you to be prepared to handle the stress, the worry, and the anxiety in your life. He does. But let's just narrow it down to what is the true source of the anxiety in your life. And it is the devil. That's the true source of anxiety in your life. John 10:10 says, the thief. And that, all my life, that's why I hate a thief, right? The thief. Satan is a thief. He is coming to steal and to kill. He's coming to steal your joy. He's coming to kill all the productive things in your life. He wants to get rid of it and to destroy that, okay? So that the anxiety sets in. You don't handle things appropriately. Marriages fall apart. Families fall apart. They quit coming to church. Their footprint gets taken away. The church's footprint gets reduced. And then he wins. And it's all through the stealing, the killing, and the destroying that's going on in our lives. Because we are unable to biblically handle the stress and worry in our lives. And it's causing great anxiety. And then it pulls us out of the plan that God has for us. But God has a promise that he wants to bring you life and to bring it more abundantly. These are the words of Jesus Christ right here. Okay? Those are the words of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ wants you to live and live abundantly. That's his plan for you. He does not want anxiety to come in your life. He knows it's going to. Okay, Sister Sheila told us that straight from God's word. It's promised that it's going to happen. But how are we to handle that? Okay, so let's look. In Luke 13, there is a story, and it is an amazing story, where Jesus comes face to face and confronts anxiety, stress, and worry. Okay? And here's what the story says. It says, now he, this is Jesus, he was in the synagogue, and he was teaching on a Sabbath. So it's just an ordinary day, and he's at the Sabbath, on the Sabbath, preaching. And then he says, and behold, there was a woman there who had a spirit of infirmity. It's a very interesting term right there, a spirit of infirmity. And I don't know where you are today. I don't know what your spirit's like. But if you are living a life full of anxiety, then you very well could have a spirit of infirmity today. And this woman was beat down in the cares. And now listen, she's at church in the synagogue. So this is, by all accounts, a believer. So this isn't someone who's just out rough and tumbling in the world and beat down. This is someone listening to Jesus Christ preach, and she's beat down. She has a spirit of infirmity, and she's had it for 18 years. She's been plagued by something for 18 years. And then it says here that she was bent over and could no way raise herself. So I don't know where you are today. But so many times we let the worries of this world come in, and then the thief comes in and steals our faith, and then he supplants these thoughts of unknown and what ifs and oh my gosh, this could happen, and this is the worst thing that could happen. This is probably what's going to happen, and we start to dwell upon those things, and our faith is stolen from us. And the next thing you know, fear enters in. I mean, we're overcome with fear. And then when the fear sets in, that's when the anxiety sets in and the devil has won. He has stolen your joy. He has stolen your path. And he has destroyed the very thing that God's got you on the path in the progress to put you on. So this is a woman. And I want you to think about that, because here's the deal. Imagine 18 years of stress beating her down and beating her down and beating her down and beating her down for 18 years. And it's gotten to the point to where her back has fused. Her body has fused because of the load that she's put on herself here. And the stress and anxiety of her life has beat her down such that she has bent over and she can in no way lift her head up and look at Jesus Christ. And she's there listening to his preaching, and yet she's beat down so much that her back has bent and now it has fused in a situation because the thief, she's allowed the thief to come in and steal all of her joy, steal her confidence, steal her faith. And I don't know where you are today, but you might be getting beat down. And this is a warning. This story's in here for a reason. Because Jesus Christ looks at her and he sees the weight of the world on top of her and that it has beat her down to the point to where she can't lift her head up anymore. And she's been beat down so much. And I don't know where you are today. I know where some of you are today. But we have to have a better plan. And we can't allow the thief to come in and steal all the joy that Jesus Christ wants to provide in your life. You're going to be persecuted, but he's given you a plan to overcome the persecution. You've got the promise. What's the promise? I go away. I leave you with the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to heaven. Why did he go to heaven? To prepare a place for you, a mansion for each and every one of us. And the promise is that if he goes away to prepare a mansion for you, what's the promise? I will come back. There's the promise that we live on, is that Jesus Christ is going to come back to take us to heaven, to live in a mansion in heaven with him and God the Father forever. In perfect harmony, in perfect peace, and in perfect love. But we get that promise stolen from us. And so now our vision is on the ground, on the earth. You see that? She can't look up to heaven. Instead, she's fused to look down on the earth. She's stuck on the earth with all the cares and troubles of this world. And I'm here to tell you that it was at such a point that her back is fused. Ask yourself today, has your back been fused by all the load and cares and worries and anxiety of this world that's bent you over, and now you can no longer look up and look towards the promise of heaven? Are you there? Well, Jesus confronts this. He sees her, and he calls out to her. He's not going to leave us in this state. That's not his plan. So if you're there today, okay, if you're there today where you're bent over and you can no longer look up and look towards heaven and see the promise of heaven, then I'm telling you that Jesus does not want to keep you there. He wants to lift you straight up so that you can see Jesus and you can see heaven and the promise of heaven. And this is what he says to her. He says, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. That's it. That's it. That's what Jesus did. With the word, he took it all away. And after 18 years of being bent over, unable for anybody to straighten her out, God the Son says to her, you're loosed of this infirmity. And then in an instant, she's healed and she can look up and see Jesus Christ and see the promise of heaven. Amen. That's the plan God has for you. He does not want you to be bent over with the cares of this world. He wants you to be loosed from it. He wants you to have a spirit of peace and comfort, not a spirit of infirmity. That's not his plan for you. And it says immediately she was made straight. And what did she do? Glorified God. So let's look. How do we biblically conquer this anxiety? What does the Bible say? Well, number one, and this is what we talk about, you have to have the proper priorities. So many times the priorities in our life get out of whack. I know it comes from a good place, but we with kids, we put kids at the top and say, this is number one in our lives. Everything we got to do, we got to keep our kids happy. We got to make them smile all the time, because if they frown, we're not good parents. You know what? The generation above me, my dad, I promise you, he didn't care if I smiled or not. Okay? He said, grin, or I'll give you something to grin about. But that's the deal, is that the priorities are out of whack. And number one is we have to keep Christ first. Matthew says, therefore, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about this world. But keep your Heavenly Father number one in your life, because he knows what's best for you. He gives you the wisdom that only he can give you. And seek the kingdom of God, and you will be blessed with righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. So number one is get your priorities straight. Because we get consumed with the world, and then we start rearranging. Like, well, God goes down here. You know, my marriage, we love each other, right? So we can put ourselves down here. I have to keep my kids number one, or I'm not a good parent. That's out of whack. It's God, marriage, kids, job. And so many times I see job kind of fighting with kids. God's kind of lost down here. Marriage is down there too somewhere. And then we get out of whack and it's like, how did this all fall apart? It's because our priorities have not been kept biblically sound. And your priority, your top priority has to be your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because your marriage depends on it, your kids' health and welfare depends upon it, and your job depends upon it. Okay? And so many times we sacrifice everything for the job. You can find a new job, I promise you that. Hard to find a good family. Hard to get back with your family falls apart. It's a destructive place there, okay? So get your priorities straight. The next is you have to have a proper perspective. And you have to set out and say, I own this. And this is what I mean by that, okay? Is you have to come aware that the person who puts the most, now listen to this, okay? The person who puts the most stress on your life is you. Arian, can I get an amen on that one? No? All right. She had in her mind, it's Aaron. Okay? But that's right. You know who puts the most stress on you? You. We destroy ourselves. We destroy ourselves from the inside out. You know what Galatians 6 tells us? Look at this. Bear one another's burdens. That's why we're here, right? That's why we come together in families and as a church family. We're here to bear up one another's problems as if they're our own. That's biblical. That's what the Bible says. Okay? You got to let us know what's going on with you. You got to allow us to pray for you. Get you a prayer partner, someone you can trust, someone you can confide in. Pray. Tell each other what your needs are. Pray for one another. You'll build a relationship that will last all the way up through heaven. Okay? And then here's the other thing. Be humble. If you think you're better, you are wrong. And you're getting ready to get your legs cut out from underneath you. I promise you that. If you think you're something, you know what the Bible says? You ain't. That's what it says right there. Okay? And then it says you got to examine your own work. Okay? This is what it's saying. You got to look at your life. And you got to examine what's going on in your life. You got to say, hey, are my priorities in check or I got them out of whack here? Here's the other thing, is you got to look at yourself, and then you have to ask yourself, am I putting all this on me for appropriate reasons? Are my kids in every kind of activity because they want to be, or because I want them to be so I feel good being a parent? Okay, are we doing this because it's good for the family, or because daddy really likes to do that? Am I doing this because it's healthy, or am I doing this because I've always done it? We get into these habit loops, okay? And we start to reward ourselves with bad things. And remember this, a bad habit will always be a bad habit. You cannot make a bad habit a good habit. Impossible. A biblical habit will always be a biblical habit. So you have to look at your own life and you have to say, am I being good to myself? Or am I adding stress and pressure which is leading to my own anxiety? And then I look outward and blame everybody for all the anxiety. All right? Because here's the last line of the scripture right here. What's that say? For each shall bear his own load. What's that mean? Well, up here it said, bear one another's burdens, right? So we're to come together to do it. But you have to understand that you're responsible for what you're, the load that you're laying on yourself. Now, this isn't saying that God won't be there to help you pick up your load. Your church family won't be there. This is telling you that when it comes time to blame for how stressed out you are, how much anxiety in your life, this is telling you, straight scripture right here is, if you got anxiety in your life, you're to blame. You're the one pouring all this on your life. Okay? That's hard. That's hard gospel, but that's biblical gospel right there. Okay? 2 Corinthians says, now listen to this, my grace is sufficient. We want to add so many other things to it. We want to add all kinds of philosophies and all this stuff. You know what the Bible says? Jesus' grace can conquer anything. There's not anything that Jesus' grace can't conquer. It is sufficient. It is at the perfect level, and it never comes up too short. It is perfect. Okay? And Paul says that it is so sufficient that he comes through every time. And he comes through every time that he would boast in his infirmities. Now, what was the spirit that the lady had when Jesus confronted her? A spirit of infirmity. And Paul is at a level here to where God is blessing him through his infirmity. That lady had allowed herself to be bent over and fused because of the spirit of infirmity. You know what Paul says? The infirmities are the best part of my life. How's that add up? That doesn't add up, does it? The one lady's infirmities caused her to bend over so much that she could never look up again. Paul says, the infirmities are the best part of my life. What's the difference there? Jesus. That is the difference. The difference is Jesus. And what Paul says is that Jesus' power, strength, and muscle is perfected in my weakness. So when I show weakness, Jesus Christ is perfected. And what we're trying to do is to build our muscles and build our legs and straighten our back out. Why couldn't this woman straighten up? Was it because she wasn't pushing up hard enough? You know what it was? The load was too heavy. And the load was so heavy that it caused her bones to fuse. She couldn't lift it up. It was physically impossible. She needed something else to do it for her. And so many of us today can't pick up the load that we've placed on ourselves. And you want it picked up? Here's how you do it. Look to Jesus. Because when you declare that I'm too weak to do this, Jesus says, now I'm perfect in you. And I can lift that up and take it away from you. Because when we are weak, He is strong. Less of us, more of Him. That's the gospel. And here's the biblical practice. Release the stress. And you say, boy, that sounds too easy, Aaron. If I could just release the stress, you know, I would have done it a long time ago. Well, here's a biblical process on how to release the stress. It says, don't be anxious about anything. That's talking to us. That goes back and says, you know who's putting all this stress on you? You. So many of us are afraid to fail. You know why we're afraid to fail? Because then the bar gets lifted, and now I got to do it so much better that eventually the bar is going to get lifted where I'm going to have an ultimate fail. And the more I succeed, the greater my failure is going to be. Oh, my Lord, I'm having anxiety. That's us. That's what a lot of us do. When you look at successful people, that's what they do. Okay? And so it says, don't be anxious. Don't apply this to, don't put this on yourself. So be anxious for nothing. But everything. How do you approach everything? In prayer. You give it to Jesus Christ. That's how you release it. You give it to Jesus Christ. And then you are thankful. Why are you thankful? Why would you be thankful in a situation that normally would cause you to be anxious and to have anxiety in your life? Because you're thankful because God is going to come through and be victorious for you. Do I need to remind you that before Noah got on the ark, he said, put aside some clean animals. Keep them separate. Why? Because when this flood's over, you're going to be victorious and you're going to give me an offering with those clean animals. And that's what God's telling you today. Don't be anxious. Be thankful and put aside some clean animals because you're going to have a victory in your life. Normally, this would bend you over and fuse your back to where you can't pick yourself up. But because you're doing it appropriately and you're giving it to me, I will provide the victory for you. That's what Jesus Christ is telling you today. So release it. Because it says there that if you make your request known, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Too many times we try to make logic out of this stuff. We want to make sense. Like, how's He just take it away from us? You know what? When someone comes to give you a pain medicine and you're in hurt, we got some there, Casey. Anybody ever said, how's this pain medicine going to work? Nobody asks that, do they? They say, you're in horrible pain. I got some pain medicine. What do we say? Thank you. May I have another, right? That's what we say. We don't say, tell me how that works first. Run me through the physiological pathways. Is it CYP385 or what's going on here? You don't want to know that stuff, does it? It's like, will this take away my pain? Yes. That's what Jesus is saying. Will this take away my anxiety? Yes. Then give it to me. Release it to me. That's what He's saying to you. Because His understanding surpasses anything that we could ever form in thought. And then He guards your hearts and your minds. That all happens through Jesus Christ. Finally, brother, whatever are true, whatever are noble, whatever just and pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, it has any virtue and is praiseworthy, that's what you need to concentrate your thoughts on. This eliminates worry. Something bad going on in your life? Think about how, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I just know that God is going to turn this around for a victory for me. That's what you ponder on. You ponder on the blessings. Something's going wrong at work. You know how you say? Work may not be going my way, but boy, my kids are healthy. Okay? There's always blessings to look at. And that's what God is saying, is don't let your mind go to the bad things. That's the thief pulling you over. Say, think about these things. Don't do it. okay? Because these are the things that you learned, that you received, and that you heard about through Jesus Christ. And those are the things that we are to practice. So if you want to relieve the stress in your life, Jesus Christ, close your eyes for a second, please. Just close your eyes for a second. Play along with me. Jesus Christ is standing in front of you today with his hands open and says, give me the anxiety. Give me the stress. Give me the worry, because I got a victory plan for you. Can you see him there? That's where he is today. And here's the biblical promise. You can open your eyes. Here's a biblical promise. Okay? Come unto me, all ye who work hard and are worn out. I will give you rest. And then here's an amazing thing. Here's an amazing thing right here. The yoke made for beast of the field. Now, I don't have anything to back this up. This is just my own thoughts of studying the Bible in my own way and how I look at Jesus. But Jesus was a carpenter. That's what it says. The translation is someone who works with wood. Okay? I personally think Jesus built yokes. It's someone who works with heavy lumber. I think Jesus had muscles. You know, he flipped over marble tables and stone tables. I mean, I think he was put together pretty good. And I think he worked with heavy work. But yet he was someone who could take, now think about this, he was someone who could take just an enormous rough piece of wood and then work it to where it could be laid on the backs of animals to pull an enormous load without hurting them. And I think that's what Jesus was famous for, making yokes. And when he says this, this really resonates with the people around him, because he says, take my yoke, okay? Take my yoke. It's gentle. My burden's light, okay? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And here's what this means. This doesn't, if you have one animal with a yoke on, pulling, he bears the entire load. If you get two, then they share the load. But actually, they don't, if the yoke is made right, they don't have to share the load. One animal can completely pull the entire load. And here's what Jesus is telling you today. Is I know some of you are going through some horrible situations. I know that the anxieties of life are beating you down. And I know some of you might even be at the point that the woman in Luke was at, where her spinal cord had fused together because the load had kept her there for so long. And she in no way could pick her head up. You know what Jesus is saying? Be loosed from that. Release it. Give it to me. And then I'll put this yoke on you, my yoke on you, and then you can walk in step with me, and I'll pull the entire load. That's what he's saying to you. Is put this yoke on. I'll walk every step with you, and I'll pull the entire load. But you got to let me do it. So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. I know we come to the altar for a lot of reasons. But this is a special kind of message, because this one hits home on virtually every person in the house. And when we try to do it on our own, we fail. And Jesus is telling you today, don't fail. The failure doesn't have to be there. I have the victory for you, but you got to let me win the victory for you. And you got to put this yoke on. And I know it looks scary, this big heavy load. It looks like it's going to be a load to carry, but I am going to walk step in step with you, and I'm going to pull the entire load for you, if you'll let me. And so here's my plea to you today. My plea to you today is take the yoke. Let him have it. Release the stress and anxiety to Jesus. He wants to take it from you. So here's my plea. If you got stress in your life, if you got worry in your life, if you're even at the point of anxiety in your life, come up today. Because if you come up, I promise you, listen to me, church, there's someone wanting to come up today. But this is a big church with a lot of people here, and sometimes it's kind of scary to walk up and all that. I get that, okay? But if there's someone here with the maturity and courage who will step out, who needs to step out, and needs to say, dear Lord, take this stress and worry and anxiety from me today, then someone else will step out who's kind of worried, having a little anxiety about coming up and giving Jesus Christ their anxiety. You understand what I'm saying? So here's my plea to you today, church. Come up to the altar and take Christ's yoke and let him pull the load. I'm going to open up the altars to you this morning.